Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A Western Marion County man is working on farm policy, both from his farm and from his office at Drake University. Let's go in-depth with Matt Russell, owner of Coyote Run Farm and Resilient Agriculture Coordinator at Drake University Agricultural Law Center. So Matt, tell me a little bit about your farm.
My husband and I, Patrick Stanley, we farm at Coyote Run Farm. We're in southwest Marion County. Melcher Dallas is our community. Our address is Lacona, but you know how that works.
Right.
We have 110 acres. We have a grass-finished beef operation where we have the cows and finish off the calves and sell the beef. And then we have laying hens, about 150. So about, depending on what time of year, between 50 and 80 dozen eggs a week. And then just short of an acre of produce. And that makes up pretty much what we do on our farm, and it's all what we call retail agriculture. Everything comes off of our farm as a branded product, and we sell primarily to families, individuals and families, a little bit to restaurants, but that's kind of a side business. Our focus is really directly to families. And most of our customers are in the Des Moines area, but we do sell some, you know, closer around our farm, and we have a few customers that are from outside of the area that come in just for a couple of key things like tomato plants or beef or something like that.
And farming's in your family, right?
Yeah. I grew up in Western Iowa. My parents and my brother and sister-in-law are still farming on the farm I grew up on. And that's about a 1,000-acre commodity farm, corn, soybeans, beef cattle. They do a little bit, actually about a third of their beef they market through the local locker, but everything else is, you know, commodity.
Well, and we're sitting in your office at Drake University. What do you do for Drake?
So I'm in my 10th year in the Agricultural Law Center at Drake University. I have a master's in rural sociology from Iowa State, so I don't come to this space as a student of the law or an attorney. But I do a lot of work away from campus, out in the community, on policy and agricultural issues. I've done a lot with retail agriculture and local foods, local and regional foods. Still do a little bit of that, but I'm doing more and more on conservation. So looking at the relationship between the non-operating landowner and the farmer, the operator. Our interest here at the center right now, one of our key focuses is putting more conservation on Iowa's working farmlands. How do we do that? What are the impediments that are preventing more conservation from being implemented? And what are the opportunities going forward for people who want to do that to engage and put more of those practices in place?
Well, it's a difficult issue, I'm sure. I mean, you're the expert, but it's like when prices go up, everybody wants to farm as much as they can. When prices go down, I mean, then you're in trouble.
Then everybody has to farm as much as they can to make the bills. Yeah, it's unfortunately the agriculture community gets caught in that cycle, and we really need more voices. And there are a lot of farmers around the state who are really phenomenal farmers and stewards of the land, but they're not always represented in the discussion. And I think the ag community tends to follow that cycle of, well, we can't put the conservation in place now because, as you said, you know, the incentives and the market's providing these signals, and we've got to grow more commodities. That's what the market's telling us. And so then, like now, where we're seeing a flip side, then the conversation is, well, we have to use these working lands. You know, we have to grow these crops on an individual basis because we're not going to be able to pay the bills if we don't. And what that leads to is this continuing series of cycles that keeps pushing conservation out of the conversation. Now, we put a lot of conservation on the land, but clearly the communities, science, and policy, when you look at it, it's even though we have some conservation in place, all the signals are saying we need more. We need to figure out better ways to grow our commodities in ways that protect soil health, that protects, keep the soil in place, and then we've got to do a better job with water quality. So that's really some of the challenges. And in some ways, it's exciting because there's so many signals, whether it's climate change, whether it's like water quality in the Gulf, or whether it's soil health and soil quality. All the signals are really kind of coming together to say, we've got to do a better job of stewardship. So it's exciting because there's a lot of opportunity. And I think there's even opportunity to leverage public resources to put more conservation in place. The frustrating part is that it's taking a long time to put that together. And we're seeing some resistance, you know, in the agriculture community, we're seeing some resistance to that, which is kind of natural in terms of human nature, and we're going to get there. We're already seeing a shift. I mean, we're seeing a shift where 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the ag community wasn't really willing to talk about water quality. We're willing to talk about water quality now. So that's a positive move. Now, how do we put the practices in place so that we're the water coming off our farms is really significantly better over time?
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Matt Russell. A lot of the conversations that I have with farmers are, they express the opinion that farmers are really good environmentalists. They care more about their land than anybody else. They're invested in it. They're doing the best they can with water quality, feeding the hungry people of the world. And maybe we need to look at the cities, that it's the cities are the problem, not the farms.
Yeah. Well, cities are a problem, and cities have been doing a very good job of addressing that. And we've regulated cities. We've required cities to do a lot. And we're seeing some real benefits to those practices that have been put into place. And it hasn't been without pain and sacrifice. I mean, there's been some communities around the state who've had to be very creative and very challenged with putting some of these practices in place. So, yeah, cities are a problem, and they're addressing it, and they're getting better. But when you look at animal agriculture in the state, when you look at how much of Iowa's land is managed as agriculture, it's disingenuous if you're from agriculture to pivot and try to address somebody else's problem. We need to look at our problem and address it. And we are, to some extent. It's just that we've got to do more. And to your point about farmers, I think most farmers are good stewards. I think there's a small number of farmers around the state who are terrible stewards. And I think farmers need to start talking about calling out bad actors. I mean, I drive past a farm. I don't know who owns it. It was probably about 60 acres, and it's an old farmstead, and, you know, it had grown up to trees, and about maybe a third of it or a half of it had been tilled and farmed. And I don't know whether it's getting ready to be sold or whether it got sold or what the deal is, but they tore every tree except for two little places where there's some draws. There are tree piles, three or four of them on the property that are four stories high. And they've completely went in there and tilled, and it's a side hill, and you could see the clay coming out of the side of the hill. And they tilled it, and they planted it to beans. It's outrageous. That farm is not being that whoever's managing that land is not a good steward. And when you drive around the state, unfortunately, I think over the last 10 years, we've seen more of these kind of farming practices, not less. So to make a blanket statement that all farmers are terrible stewards and that all farmers need to clean up their act, that's incorrect. That's inaccurate and disingenuous. But on the flip side, to say that all farmers, because they're farmers and because they have a stake in their land and they're protecting it and that they're doing the best job they possibly can, that's equally disingenuous. It's a more complicated situation. And, you know, there's the USDA has a lot of tools. This IDALS, Iowa Department of Agricultural Land Stewardship, and the DNR, there's tools in place. We need more funding. Politically, we haven't been able to put that funding in place. We've seen some funding come and some vetoes. We've got to get serious about this, and It's going to take public policy. It's going to take private investment. It's going to take everybody working together. And I'm optimistic. I think it's very possible. But what we're seeing is some external costs to our production systems that people are starting to demand be re-internalized. And I don't think that's a terrible thing. I mean, I think when you've got a system, if you've got costs, so water quality or soil loss or sediment, if you've got costs to the system, the smart thing to do is to look at how do you put those costs back into the system and not externalize them for somebody else to pay for.
Do you see your role, your background in farming and running an operation, does that give you a different kind of credibility than somebody that's just trying to approach change in the farming system that doesn't have that background?
Well, that's a great question. I think as a member of the agricultural community, we really need to welcome people into this community to help participate. And we're seeing a lot of interest in that. We're seeing interest around the country from young people across the board who want to get more connected to agriculture. And I think we need to create every opportunity we can to invite them to be part of what we're doing, because we can only farm for the people who are buying our products. And it's not just food. We grow all kinds of things. And so our customers are wanting to be more connected with what we're doing on our farms. And I think that's positive and good. We need to take a hold of that. But to your point about being in agriculture, it means something in Iowa to be a farmer. And I grew up on a farm. I never anticipated farming. When I graduated from high school, my family squeaked by through the 80s, and the last thing I wanted to do was live in a small community that was constantly declining and struggling with that, and being involved in agriculture where I had gone through, growing up as a teenager, a serious period of decline. So now I'm in Southwest Marion County on a farm. We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in our farming operation. Pat farms full-time. I work off the farm full-time. While we do retail agriculture and we have a smaller land base, the economics of our farm and the off-farm income and how our household looks in agriculture, the economics of it is very similar to the median for this part of the country. Like, we are a typical farm when you look at the finances. So we're full into it, and yeah, that makes a difference. It makes a difference when farmers are engaged. And it's not just from your voice has more significance. You understand the situation better. You're able to say things because you understand them, not just say things because you got the farmer hat on.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Matt Russell. Okay, so I'm giving you a magic wand.
Okay.
All right, and you can create the future of what you think is, you know, good farming, good for our environment, good for the air, good for the water. What needs to happen with your magic wand? You have 5 years to implement this with your magic wand.
I see a greater diversification, and I'm just going to talk about Iowa agriculture because I'm going to take the whole global thing on, although Iowa agriculture is set in a global context. So if I had a magic wand, what I would see in Iowa is I would see more crops in the rotation. And I would see more livestock on the land and more dispersed across the state. I'm not one to say that Iowa needs less hogs, but I would be willing to say Iowa needs the same amount of hogs spread out on more farms. That Iowa needs more cattle and feedlot cattle as well, but primarily we need more cow calf to get those cows onto the land that is less productive for corn and soybeans, but highly productive if you put cattle on it, and that combination of grazing and vegetation and soil quality and soil health, and then the manure. Being the manure coming from the poultry and the pork and the cattle feedlots and the dairy, that's being dispersed and used around the state. And then I think the really important, so those things can happen. I mean, they're challenging, but it would be great to see those things happen. And I think what we're going to look at coming into the future is climate change and what agriculture in general, but Iowa is really well positioned to do this, where we start to take that carbon cycle, that flywheel of the carbon cycle, and start to accelerate it and get more carbon into our soils. And when we start to figure out how to do that, and it's going to take animal agriculture, and it's going to probably take some tillage, and it's going to take no-till, if we can increase the carbon in our soils, we're going to have better water quality, we're going to have better soil health, we're going to have more productive soils, and we're probably going to be able to see yields go up. And I'm just guessing, I haven't looked at this really closely, so I could be way off on this, but I think when you start to get healthier soils, more organic matter, you're going to see the need for industrial fertilizers go down. And that's going to reverse a trend where we've seen we need more and more industrial fertilizers because our soil is getting less and less healthy. We can turn that around. So there's my magic wand. More diversity, longer, you know, more crops in the rotation, more animals in agriculture spread around the state, more organic matter in the soil, and really focusing on pulling carbon out of the atmosphere and making it work for us here in Iowa. And I think if we can do all of those things and we do it well and innovate and be the leaders, we're going to see some markets coming to support that kind of agriculture, because it's going to be solving a really big problem for the world, and that's how do we put more carbon out of the atmosphere back into the ground. And it's not a matter, I mean, if we can do that in a way that also accelerates our agriculture, all the better, as opposed to just seeing, you know, the cost of carbon and the cost of putting, you know, if we can use that carbon, we can get paid for pulling it out, and then it also makes our farms more productive. There's the pie in the sky.
Thanks to Matt Russell for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.